Good morning. Thank you for joining us. If you would stand, we'll get started, continue with our song service. This morning, I picked what I think is my mom's favorite verse for Mother's Day. It says, Ephesians 6:1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise." We're glad that you're all here this morning. We want to say a special welcome to each and every mother that's here. Brother Chris, would you open us in a word of prayer, please?
Let me sing in hymn number 134, "My Anchor." Stand once again. We'll sing hymn number 127, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Standing as we sing.
"'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the still the Lord. Jesus, how I trust Him, how I move in more and more.
against a struggle that shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes.
And you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears. Don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear.
Praise the Lord.
He can work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord.
Satan is a liar, and he wants to make us think that we are paupers when he knows himself we're children of the King.
So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ is risen, so the work's already done.
Praise the Lord.
I know whom I have believed.
I believe it.
If you forgot, sorry. You're probably already in big trouble, but you can try to make it up, okay? So today we like to acknowledge our mothers, if you can and you would, ladies, if you'd like to, I'd like to have the mothers come on down. Instruments, you can go ahead and move off and all that. But all the mothers, if you could and you would, come on down, have a gift that we'd like to give you and then have a word of prayer with you. Amen. Always love having a great group of moms. Where would we be without moms? We'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? Or maybe we'd be in less trouble. Maybe that's what it is. So we have a small gift for you today. I'm going to make my way through, and you can pick one of these out of the box, and then I'll be back with another box when I run out of this box. Yes, ma'am. And now, eeny, meeny, miny. So hopefully with these being real small, if you have a good green thumb, it'll grow. If not, it'll die quickly and, you know, all that good stuff. Thank you. I appreciate Brother Chuck's help. All right. Miss Lisa wrapped your little box and put a little Happy Mother's Day inside. They didn't come that way, but she was willing. She's always willing to be a blessing that way. Thank you, Brother Chuck, for helping me. Mothers, I want you to know we love you, and we thank God for you. and I'd like to have a word of prayer with you. Lord, we love you and thank you so much for our mothers. What a blessing it is to be able to have the influence of a mom in our lives. And the time where those of us who are moms already gone on, we're mindful of the importance of moms and the heartbreak of not having one here at this time. Lord, we just pray that you'd make this a blessed day for each one of these mothers. I pray that the kids would behave and the house would be cleaned. And Lord, that you would just be honored and glorified and give them a great day. Bless them in a great way and make this week be a week of great blessing as they seek to walk with you and lead their children for your honor and your glory. We love you and we thank you for each one of these here today with us. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. Thank you, ladies, and let's give them a hand as they go to be seated. Thank you. You're welcome.
Thing that's ever happened to me.
Amen. I tell you, I remember when Alice and Steve got married. Never did we ever think that we would be blessed like that. That's awesome. I think if we'd turn those two girls loose, that they could countrify their singing. And I bet Miss Metzinger could countrify that piano playing. And we just feel like we're right on down home, amen? Amen. We're going to have to try that one time. I feel sorry for Jared and Caleb. Those beautiful Lee Master girls have all been married, so may go downhill from here, but I doubt it. But it may, anyhow. It's good to be here on Mother's Day and have you with me, with us. If you would, take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. I want you to know I reserved the right to reuse this verse at Christmas time, but I've thought it fitting today to share. And I've entitled this, Fear Not, Mary. And in Luke chapter 1, we're going to pick up reading verse number 26 and read down through verse number 38. If you found that and you can, stand with me in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Like I said, we'll begin in verse number 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall these be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. And we thank you for the opportunity today to be gathered here in your house and to worship you. Lord, it's our prayer and desire that we might hear from you today, that we would meet with you, that the Holy Spirit would have power and freedom to move in our lives and in our hearts. And Lord, you would take the words from your Bible today and use them in our lives to mold us to be more like you. And although this is primarily a Mother's Day message, we know that it could have great impact upon the homes of those that are represented here, upon the husbands and children. So God, we pray that the Holy Spirit would not just speak to moms today, but to all of us, that we might seek to know you in a better way and live for you and serve you. Thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for this time together. We love you and we ask these things in your blessed and most holy name. And all the people said, Amen. You may be seated. So I want us to zero in on two verses today, and there's a lot of great preaching here. Of course, I like to preach from this to be mindful of the fact that Jesus came from a virgin, that he was born of not earthly bloodline, but of heavenly bloodline. Therefore, his blood was able to atone for the sins of mankind. But today I want us to think about verse number 28 and verse number 30. And there we read, And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. I want us to think about that, highly favored. And then verse number 30, the latter part there says, thou hast found favor with God. Thou hast found favor with God. And so Mary somehow found this favor with the Lord. So I went to Webster's. I like to be able to totally understand what is being said there. And so Webster's in the 1828 dictionary, he wrote this about favor. He said, a kind regard, a kindness or a countenance, as God gave Joseph favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh in Acts 7:1. And so it's a kindness. It's a regard that God has as he looks at man and he sees man's desire to walk with him and to love him and to serve him. Then he has favor towards them. He brings blessings upon them. And so we don't have a lot about Mary's life previous to this, do we? It'd be neat if we could look back and we could say, oh, yeah. And so Mary here, she was born to this family, and she was raised this way, and so forth and so on. But we can assume a lot of things after we read these verses and after we understand what favor is. We can think that Mary was not a bad girl. Huh? Yeah, because the Bible says she's favored of the Lord. And he's not going to look down and say, well, I'm going to pick the worst one, and I'm going to favor them. I would submit to you that Mary loved God with all of her heart. I would submit to you that Mary, as a young lady, she desired to know more about God. She desired to know about him. I don't think that her mom and dad had to say, Mary, it's time to go to church. Let's go. Quit putting on the makeup. It's time to go. You should have got up 30 minutes earlier so we could be on time. You're not going to make us late again today. Oh, no, come on. Don't tell me that doesn't happen in your homes. Okay, you can play that game. I know. I live with a female. I know. Not that I would ever point that out, but Brother James, he would probably put it on Facebook if he was going to do that. Whew. I don't know how that boy puts the stuff on Facebook he puts on. He's still alive. But if all the women want to gang up on him after church, after you get all your chores done, feel free to just beat him up. Yeah. If you've not seen his Facebook, you come to me, I'll show it to you. It'll make you want to throw a rock at him. If you're a lady, if you're a guy and your wife's not around, you go, that's the truth right there. But anyhow. So Mary really loved God. I think that's what we would conceive, that she loved God. She cared about the things of God, and it was her desire as she would go to synagogue and she would hear the preaching and she would hear the reading of the Word of God, that she had this love and this desire for the things of God, and she desired to be a pure girl. And her desire was that, you know, one day Mr. Wonderful would come along and she would meet Mr. Wonderful and God would put them together, which is evidenced already here from this portion of Scripture, because she was espoused to Joseph. And she was espoused to Joseph being a virgin. Okay? So an espousal was basically an engagement. It was a time for them to begin to make the plans for the wedding. So she was espoused to Joseph. That was going to be her man. They were going to get married. And he had chose her. Undoubtedly, because he wanted a young lady who loved God. We could just stop there for a minute and say, guys, hey, look up here. Guys, when it goes time to looking for a girl, the Bible says that beauty is vain and looks are deceitful. You need a girl that loves God. Amen? And girls, beauty is vain and deceitful. And these guys, if they have a brain about them, are going to be looking at whether or not you love God and you want to serve God. Why is that so important? Because one day you're going to be raising children like little Eden here. And you're going to want to go to church together. And you're going to want to set together. And you're going to want to see her grow up like all the other kids that are out in children's church right now. You want to see her having good friends at church to play with and have a good time with. And you're going to want them to grow up to know the God that you know. That's what I wanted for my kids more than anything. That they might know the God that I know and not have to go through all the pain that it took me to get to know him. If I could take away the years of sin and keep them out of my life and wash them away, that's what I desired for my children. That they might grow to know God, to love him, to desire to walk with him, because they were going to be raising my grandchildren. And I want my grandchildren to grow up to know the God that I know. And I want them to know it without the pain and the suffering that I had to go through to get there. Amen? And one day they tell me that having great-grandchildren is even better than having grandchildren. I'm not there yet. But I can see it down the road, Lord willing. And I'm looking forward to it. And you know what I want for my great-grandchildren? Yeah, you got it. I want them to know the God that I know. I want them to love him the way that I love him. And I want to see them grow to love him more and more. And I don't want them to have to go through the pain and the sorrow and the sin that I went through in my life. I want good for them. I want great things for them. So here was Mary. This is where she was. By the way, moms, how would you like to be faced when you were yet a virgin with an angel saying, you're going to have the Son of God? That would be pretty scary, I would think. Me? I don't even know if I could raise regular kids, but you're going to give me Jesus? I'm going to raise Jesus? Well, I'm telling you, your commitment level to church just went way off the charts, right? Your commitment level to reading your Bible and praying every day, whoo, way off the charts. Why? Because you're going to be raising Jesus, okay? I can't even imagine what all Mary went through. We see that she has some issues understanding and grasping. What do you mean? I'm going to have a child and I've never known a man. How's that going to happen? And the angel Gabriel comes and he says, look, Holy Ghost is going to come upon you and you're going to have a child. And she's going, I don't understand this. I don't know. My mom never explained this kind of thing to me. I've got to go talk to my mom. And she went and talked with her mom. And her mom's, I just can't imagine what all that was like. But can I challenge you with this, moms? You are raising children that will either grow up to love God, or they'll grow up to say, eh, we played church, we went to church, we kind of did those churchy things, but it really wasn't that important. And so what you do a little of, your children are going to be more likely to do a lot of. So if you go to church once in a while, don't be surprised your kids never go to church. You love God a little bit, you give God a little bit of your time, you give God a little bit of your attention, don't be surprised your kids never give God any attention or any time. You see, raising children, it's a great and awesome responsibility. Do you realize that it could be that right now in children's church, or maybe even in the pews right here, sets the next pastor of Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple? Could be. I'm not guaranteed how long I'm going to live. I could fall over dead today. You got to get a preacher somewhere, right? Wouldn't it be great if they had been raised in our church and they had grown to love God because of our church? And then God would lead the people of the church to recognize the need and the consistency of the life of one that had been raised in his church to say, wow, let's make him pastor. Of course, usually what happens is, oh, I knew what he was like when I changed his diaper and how he wouldn't sit still. He's not going to ever make it at our church. But we could be raising the next pastor. You could be raising the next preacher to impact our generation for Christ. You know, I've got a handful of probably less than a handful of what I would call great preachers now. Brother Sam Davison, Brother McCracken, he's a great preacher. And I've got, I think Jeremiah is a great preacher, my son. These men who could impact this generation, but there could be one sitting right here, or one over in junior church or children's church. or maybe not born yet, but could be born to someone in our congregation. The next great missionary could be right here. Right here. So the way we raise our children, I know it becomes hard. I know it becomes difficult. I know it's laborious, but it's worth it. Invest, invest, invest. Raise your children. Influence your children for the things of God. I'm going to give you just a few things about Mary's life, and then we'll be over and you can go celebrate, okay? The first thing about Mary's life that I think helped prepare her and helped her as she raised Jesus was the fact that she was humble. She was humble. So there in verse 28 says, "Thou art highly favored." And again in verse number 30, "Thou hast found favor." I believe that her humility made Mary a great vessel to be used for God's glory. Now the great thing about humility is that you don't recognize that you have humility. You just strive for it. When the people say, "Oh, well, you know, I've been greatly humbled," I'm like, you got a lot more humbling to come. Because when you get totally broke down, you know where you're at. You don't have to tell anyone. Everybody just, it's automatic recognition. They can tell. That person's been broke down. That person is humbled. The things where they used to be proud and conceitful and belligerent about, they've been broke down. Listen, you wouldn't like your preacher when he was 17, 18 years old. Some knew me at that age. I was a very prideful individual. And that can come back and rear its ugly head. But, I mean, that pride can come. But Mary didn't have that. Mary was one who sought humility. She wanted to be a vessel used for God's glory. You know, here, think about this. She never forced herself upon the world. Okay? She didn't do the talk show circuit saying, "Oh, let me tell you how I raised Jesus." She didn't write the best-selling book. Don't you just love those people who write the best-selling books about how to raise children? And I'm thinking the best thing you can do about writing a book about how to raise children is wait till they're all raised and right before you die, then publish the book. Because I've watched kids come along. We've had kids in our family come along, get to be mid-20s and go crazy. It's like, "Whoa, wait a minute, you were raised better than that." And the crazy bug got them and whoop, off they go doing this and doing that. And so be careful about what you choose to write. But Mary could have wrote that book. She never forced herself upon the world. She didn't go around and tell others about the fact that she was the chosen one. You know, when she was going to have Jesus and the angel had talked to her, she could have gone around her neighborhood, "Hey, guess what? I'm a virgin. I'm going to have a baby. His name's Jesus." But we don't find that about her. We don't see that about her. She never tried to get herself at least a share of Jesus' glory. You know, the first act that Jesus did is he turned the water into wine. And she went to Jesus and she said, "Look, there, son, they're out of wine." And he turns the water, by the way, into pure grape juice. Turns the water into pure grape juice. And then she didn't sit around and go, "He did that because I told him to." You don't ever see this of Mary. Mary always stays in the background. And yet she's there at every key event in Jesus' life. She was there at the first act that he committed as the Son of God, coming out, if you would, as Jesus Christ the Savior. She's there at his crucifixion, and she's there at the resurrection, and I dare say there at the ascension. She was there at every key moment, but she never sought glory for herself. She was never self-absorbed. She gave herself over to self-denial and obedience. She sought to lowly walk before those around her. She sought lowly to raise the Savior. She wanted to do a good job. And so she sought the help of, I believe she sought the help of the Holy Spirit all the time in raising Jesus, that she might raise him and input in him the things that were necessary for his life. You say, "I don't think he needed that because he was the Son of God." Then why didn't they just poof put him here, you know, like at 30 years old? Because they wanted to show his manhood, the fact that he chose to become man And so this is why Mary's highly favored. By the way, when we talk about Mary being highly favored, she didn't insist on being part of the way to pray to heaven, as some religions will teach us. She isn't this intercessor between Jesus and God, or between God and Jesus, or she's not an intercessor. She was just highly favored, like you could be today. But she wasn't made this wonderful, special person, because there's no scripture that would back that up. No scripture to back that up, other than the fact that she was highly favored. The second thing I think we find about Mary is that she was obedient and submissive. Obedient and submissive. Now, these words kind of go together, and yet I want to make sure that we understand that they're separate, because to be obedient doesn't always mean we're submissive. I've seen, especially in working with young people, I've seen young people be obedient with a horrible attitude. I've seen parents be obedient with a horrible attitude. What do you mean I have to discipline my children? Well, I don't care what God's word says about it. I'm going to do it my way because I know so much better than God. You do? You do? Really? God, the creator of the universe, he'd only gave us this book here to tell us how to raise our children. I wonder how it flies in his face to say, that's not for me. My child, you don't understand my child. Oh, yeah, he understands your child. He knows exactly. And so Mary was obedient and submissive at the same time. She accepted her lot. You don't see her saying, nope, nope, not me. Take my name off the list. I'm not going to do that. She was willing to say, I'll do that if that's what you want. And I'll be submissive to that. A lot of that plays off the humility that she had in her life. She did it, I believe, without complaint. Now, I can't help but have this exchange in my mind of Mary and Joseph. When she tells Joseph, Joseph, I got to tell you something. I'm going to have a baby. Now, in my mind, this plays out to... I try to put myself in Joseph's spot, and I would think, I'm marrying the most pure girl in the whole tribe, the whole city, if you would. I picked her because of her beauty. I picked her because of her humility. I picked her because of her submissiveness to her parents, because of the way she loves God. I picked her for these reasons, but I can't help but think that at this moment that he is questioning, what do you mean you're pregnant? What do you mean you're going to have a baby? What do you mean you're still a virgin? How can you be a virgin? I mean, that thing just blows up in my mind when I play it out. Now, Mary could have said, now, wait a minute, God. I've waited a long time for a guy to come along like Joseph. I've waited for him to come along. I've prayed about him. You've given him to me. I'm a spouse to him. What do you mean I'm going to be pregnant? He's never going to accept that. He's never going to take that, God. No, no, I think I'm out of this. I don't want to lose him. Again, we'll just stop for a minute and talk to the teens. You need to be willing to lose whoever God brings in your life to make sure you get the right one. Okay? If she's the right one, God will let you know she's the right one. A lot of times he'll do that through the confirmation of your parents and through your pastor and others who know her. But just because she's beautiful, you know, beauty is as beauty does, doesn't mean you're going to want to be locked down to her for the rest of your life and probably never get to serve God, because she's got needs. They just don't happen to be that beautiful. Jared, I'm talking to you right now, okay? No. They just don't happen to be that beautiful. A lot of times it takes a lot of work to get them there and a lot of money to keep them there, okay? Am I speaking the truth? Okay, silent crowd today. I get it. And girls, that's I mean, you want to make sure you're seeking God. Let God make your choices. That's the best place to be. Mary's these She's faced with this, and yet she wants to be obedient and submissive to God all at once because she was raised to be an obedient girl. She was raised to be as submissive. So we don't see her throwing a fit. We don't see her throw a tinter tantrum. What we do see is because Mary understood that this was something coming from God, we see that she turns to God. She says, God, I don't understand this, but God, you're going to have to help him understand. Boy, that's quite a lesson right there. You're going to have to help him understand. I don't think he's going to understand, but you're going to have to make him understand. If he's going to understand, it's going to have to be you, because he's not going to understand it coming from me. And so she was submissive and she was obedient, and she didn't try to force her will. She just chose to trust God. God, here this is. This is something you've got to work on. You've got to intercede. You've got to work in his life. I can't. The third thing we see is a quiet spirit. A quiet spirit. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, we read, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not in word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting of hair and the wearing of gold and putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is a great price." Of course, we know as we study Scripture, the Bible talks about a living on the housetop with a brawling woman. I never wanted a brawling woman. I didn't want a brawling woman. I didn't want a bawling woman. I don't like tears. It's like the shortcut. I don't like tears. It makes me feel horrible, okay? But who cares? I'm just telling you, anyhow. Quietness. She was always more ready to be silent than to speak. She was always more willing to sit and watch a situation than to give what she thought might be necessary. I can, you know, in raising children, my wife and I, we went through that whole thing of raising three boys, and there's nothing like raising three boys. I'm glad we didn't have to raise girls, so I can just talk about boys. And in raising those three boys and attitudes and you know, when they come to that point in puberty where they think they're a man, but they're far away from man, they can't even grow two chin hairs, you know, but they think they're a man, and you know, they're going to stand up and tell you what for, and they're going to do this, they're going to do that. And some of you are looking at me like you don't have the foggiest idea, but just give it time. You'll figure it out. It will come your way. I'm just saying that Mary had a meek spirit. She wasn't throwing things around the house. She didn't start yelling at the boys. She didn't start yelling at Jesus and his step brothers and sisters. She didn't start throwing her weight around. She was of a quiet spirit, and I would imagine that when it was time for her to talk, that just maybe even in talking, she would cause tears to roll. She wasn't loud and brash and bragging and boastful. She was just this quiet, meek spirit that was inside of her heart and that made her a vessel of glory. And then fourth thing, and we'll close with this, fidelity. Her faithfulness. She was faithful, she was careful, she was observant of her duty and the performance of her obligations as a mom. She didn't necessarily lay that off on someone else. She realized the responsibility was hers, and this is what God had given her to raise Jesus, the Son of God. And so she sought his help, God's help, every day, I believe, to raise Jesus for God's glory. She was full of fidelity from the very first to the very last. She rose to the task imposed upon her, and she fulfilled the commands of God. And I don't think that she was there thinking, well, this is what I'd rather do, and this is how I'd rather react. She was just seeking, what would God want me to do at this point as I raise Jesus so that he might go out and be used for God's glory? Boy, what a job Mary had. A few things that we can learn, hopefully, to help us be better moms, better dads, maybe even better children, that we might seek to be found pleasing in the sight of the Lord. Lord Jesus, we love you today and thank you so much for your word and thank you so much for the example of Mary. And we know even though there's not a lot spoken, there are those characteristics that we talked of this morning that just being observant would lend us to know about Mary. Lord, maybe it'd be that we would examine our lives today and say, I want some of those characteristics of Mary in my life. I want to exemplify those things. I want to be more humble. I want to be more obedient and submissive to God. I want to show my fidelity. I want to finish well. I want to raise these children for His glory, for God's glory, and be a faithful spouse to my husband and to just fulfill these obligations that God's given. And maybe a meek and a quiet spirit would be something that some would want to dwell on today. Lord, we just ask that you might be honored and glorified in this invitation time. Lord, as we would examine our hearts, might we be willing to make whatever changes would be such that would bring honor and glory to you. We love you, and we ask these things in your wonderful and most precious name. Amen. Would you stand with me today? Have a moment of invitation. I'm going to sing Just As I Am. God spoken to your heart today. I encourage you to come, whatever you need. Good to be in the Lord's house today and have each one of you with us. Lord bless you for being here. Brother Foster has our announcements and would encourage you to be back tonight. Okay, we're going to start the evening service with our Patch Kids singing, and it's like the cutest thing ever. Okay, and so if you have a grandparent's heart or even a parent's heart, who doesn't like to see little kids get up and sing and or maybe not sing but just be cute, you know? I can tell you stories about kids who have grown up through here and all the cute little things they've done, and it's just a wonderful time. So I'd encourage you to be here tonight at 6 o'clock.
Preacher, don't get too far. We have a birthday coming up for our pastor. Let's sing happy birthday to him.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
several things to be mindful of here in the bulletin. Patch program tonight has already been mentioned. Kids need to be here at 5:30 to get ready. We have a couple graduations coming up this month. First for Abigail Veazey on May 14th. Be a reception here at the church at 2 p.m. And then on the 20th, on Friday night at 6:30, Jared Foster will be graduating. And then we have a special guest next Sunday. Brother Greg Wagner and his wife will be here. And Brown Bag coming up on May the 29th. And then we have camp coming up in June the 5th through the 10th. Please be mindful to pray for the Omer family as well. Let's dismiss in a word of prayer. Stephen, would you dismiss us, please?
The opportunity we have to come and worship you in your house today, Lord. We thank you so much for our mothers, as we mentioned today, and that you would just help us to be mindful of the sacrifice that they give us each and every day. I pray that we would show them the love that they give. I pray that you'd all give us the love that you have for us. I pray that we would love you above all things, Lord. I thank you for the church that I have to come to and learn about you. I thank you for the parents that bring their kids.